Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, happy Thursday to you, Dr. Paula Price, who just finished her book. How are you doing?
Book. I'm excited because I just finished my book, you know?
Yay.
Woo. Actually, you know, that was a real journey for me. I've enjoyed doing it. With this book, I had an opportunity to encounter the Lord in a very rich and powerful way, and I'm looking for great things. So now we're just having our audience pray for the right publisher because it's too potent a book. It's too powerful a tool for the kingdom to be published by just anybody, even me. You know, it's something that God has specially handpicked for his kingdom. So pray for that. Those of you who are listening, I want to welcome you to our Thursday show. And boo, it's not sunshining. You know, our record is slim. You know, we've only had about four or five Thursdays that didn't just blast us with sunshine, and this is one of them. But how many of you know the sun is shining in the Lord Jesus Christ? And am I happy about being here today? So, Ashley, how are you doing? And what is going on in your wonderful world of whistles and buzzers and digitals and et cetera?
In my wonderful world of your wonderful world. I'm getting ready for the Executive Apostleship Training Retreat. It's happening, gearing up for the Tulsa Prophetic Forum, working on our online courses. I tell you, this vision is just growing by the day. And, of course, one of my favorite moments of the week, the Paula Price Show.
I know. Isn't it great? Well, I tell you, I am excited about what we're going to talk about today because we have a couple of people who was at the retreat with us and who were at the retreat with us in September. So we're going to hear from them today because it's important. I know that I want to say to you all who are listening today and, you know, you're toying with it and whatever, and you're saying, wow, this sounds great, but I'm not sure. Especially, and I spoke this last week, if you feel like, oh, my goodness, I'm just conferenced out. I agree with you. And if this were a conference, we would bill it as something else. But this is not a conference. This is your time for you to get geared up for what God is about to do. It is for high thinkers, high learners, and it is for people who have a high call. If, you know, regular conferences are for the masses, but when you're training giants, when you're training people to take the lead, and you're training people to not just lead, but to take the lead, or those who will assume the reins of authority and leadership in God's kingdom, that's different. You don't train them with thousands. You don't even train them with hundreds. You don't even train them with dozens. You train them no more than a dozen. That's why Jesus had the perfect number for training leadership and training his successors. Perfect number, 12. And, you know, of course, he lost one, but he gained one. And so the point that I want to say to you, if you're thinking, gee, if you're one of those people who need to be seen with the crowd, you need, you know, you need lights, cameras, actions, this is not the event for you. You need to come in June or come in November. But if you're a person that God is pressing and he's telling you, I have something great for you. You're going to do great things for me. I have something weighty for you. I need you to stretch. If you're one of those people, you feel like all God has ever done for the bulk of your ministry life is to throw one heavy thing upon you, heavy task, heavy project upon you after another. You are the person suited for this event. You're that person. I don't care what office you occupy. In the end of it, the grand scheme of it, you are the person who needs what this session, what these sessions will bring you. This retreat is ideal for you who know God is elevating you. You know God is promoting you. You know he's getting ready to put something great in your hands. How about those of you, your leaders have told you, I'm ready to promote you. I'm ready to put something heavy in your hand. I'm ready to retire, and I'm going to leave this with you. You need this retreat. That's who this retreat is for, because you're people who have to use immediately everything that God gives you, every piece of information, every sliver of revelation, every iota of conversation that you have, every exposure, every experience, you need it all, and you need it immediately. Yep, you are the ones that we want here. You're the ones that I'm sending this clarion call out to, because you are the ones that God is doing something. Let's talk about another group that's ideal for this retreat. Another group would be those whose ministry are transitioning. You know, you've had the wonderful meeting. You had this awesome prophet, this awesome minister come in and say, oh, thus says God, your church is transitioning. Thus says the Lord, you're going to do something else. Prepare your people. You're moving on. You're that one. We need you here. But not only that, you need to be here. What we give here, this is not a you sit and listen and feel edified and go home and wonder what just happened. This is not that kind of an event. It is a powerful event. It is closed, and it is about you. And it's not just strategy sessions. It's all that you would need to go to the next level, jam-packed in 3 short days in a wonderful facility here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. If you know you're called to be promoted, you know God is giving you a new business, a new venture. He's giving you a new idea. Maybe he's giving you a new ministry. But whatever that is, you're being groom for a far greater weight of glory. That is what this retreat does. It grooms you for the far greater weight of glory. We often, when we quote that scripture, we think of, you know, being in church, the band is playing, the music is just going on. I mean, we are up there. We're in the rafters on the Holy Spirit. And that's nice, but that's not what this is. This is for the ones who are really being outfitted for the next level of glory, the next weight, because we forget the word glory in Scripture is not just brilliance or radiance. It is not just that. Those are the effects of the glory. But the glory itself is a heavy weight. It's a burden put upon you by the Lord. It's a weighty assignment. It is more responsibility, more demanding duties and tasks, and it's glorious because it's coming from heaven and to you instead of from man to you. So the glory of God, the majesty of the Holy Spirit, the superiority of the Most High accompanies this burden that God is putting on you so that you're not carrying it alone, but it's also not as drab and dreary as it could be without him. So when he's talking about a far greater weight of glory, that's what God is talking about. It's not just for leaders, but in this respect, it's weighty. Anytime you do something for the Lord and you plan to get his results, I want to qualify that because that's important. Anytime you do something for the Lord and you want to get his results, it's going to be a burden because God is the originator of everything, and whenever he sends us forth to do anything in his name, it is to restore it to his original, to restore it to his original form, order, structure, function, you pick it. Any one of those that applies to what you got, what God has you doing right now. But I want to tell you that those of you who you know God is telling you, this is the time. He's telling you by the end of the year, you're not going to be where you are today. He's telling you that you're the one that's hiding behind the stuff because, oh, my goodness, God has discovered you, put you over something. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know why. You don't know how to carry it out. Here is where you get to do that, and you get to do it in a closed, safe environment. You know, the worst thing to do is to be a leader who has to train and learn and transform in the limelight. There is nothing more devastating, nothing more frustrating than having to be thrust into the limelight ill-prepared or thrust into the limelight on emergency because you don't know how it happened. You know, God just may have tapped you like he did Saul. Whatever the case is, I want you to hear this. If you have 3 days, the end of this month, that you could give to getting yourself ready in an intense environment that will deliver to you useful, usable, doable training. This is the place you need to get to our website. You need to fill in your application. You need to let us know because you are who God is calling to this. And so, you know, many of you are listening. You're like, God, I just wish there was a place I could learn. I wish there was a place I could get it. I wish there was a place that I could get it and I didn't have to spend 9 months in school or 6 months in school. If you are that person, then this retreat this apostleship, this executive apostleship retreat, is for you. It's for you. It's for you because it's what God wants to give you to empower you. I've told everybody as I train people, God does not promote you without training unless you make yourself unavailable to his training. So he's going to, I mean, think about Moses. God sends Moses out, say, go deliver my people. And we all kind of, in our charismatic church mind, think that he just, you know, hey, Moses, I got something for you to do. Dropped in the bush. Okay, Moses, go. No. Told Moses how he was going to do it. He told him the power that was in his rod. He told him the authority that he would have over Pharaoh. He told him how his miracles would work. He told him his position in relation to Aaron. God laid it out, and some of you need to get into a place where God can lay it out for you, where he can articulate what he's been revealing to you in your sleep, in your prayer, while you're driving. I'm looking at somebody, you're driving down the highway, and every time you get in your car, God is flashing pictures in your mind, just flashing. They're in your mind. And you're like, God, what are you saying to me? What are you telling me? Listen, this environment and a venue like this is perfect for you to get those answers. Now, again, we're looking for those who are going to enter into something that's going to bring from the Lord, bring from heaven itself, that far greater weight of glory. You're already carrying a weight of glory. We don't need you to try to get into this environment with your first weight because it's just going to wear you out. But if you're already carrying a weight of glory and God is telling you, gear up, it's getting ready to be more intense, get ready, I'm adding more to you. I'm putting you in a building. I'm putting you in a business. I'm giving you more land. I'm giving you the media. I'm giving you broadcast. Whatever he's saying, he wants to give you an opportunity in these 3 days at the end of the month to participate in getting ready. You don't have a lot of time, and that is what makes this so ideal. We don't need a lot of time to get you ready because powerful people just need a nudge, a push, and a little refinement because you're already great. You're already doing it, and it's already working. God just wants to get you ready for the next level. And so this is definitely that type of venue. If you are that person, that is what I want to share with you. I want you here. I want you here to be a part of this because that is what I want to give you when you're with us at the end of this month. It is powerful. And so, anyway, I wanted to share that. You know, I do have an admonishment for everyone else, but I wanted to share that because I know what it is like. I want to give you this admonishment from the Holy Spirit. You don't have to let your people see you in training. They don't have to sit with you to hear the things that you have to learn, the things that you have to refine, what you want to reveal and have to hide because, oh, my goodness, I don't need them to see me like that. You know, I have a training that I teach, just to give you a little bit of a taste and a bit of a heads up, called Leadership Mystique. You know, the church has taken away in its transparency teaching the leadership mystique. And there is a mystique that you need as a leader, that your people need to know that you're human, but they don't want to know that you're their next-door neighbor as a human. Your people need to know that you can relate to them, understand with them, but they don't want you to run with them. They don't want that because when they want to grow up, they want to have a model, a picture, a standard to reach. And so you have to strike, we as leaders have to strike that healthy balance between being available and yet knowing when we should directly get involved or we should delegate that to one of our own people, our own attendants, assistants, etc. So here's what we have to learn. That there is a mystique to leadership. Your people don't want to know that you cuss as hard as they do. They want to think that when they move out of their stuff, whatever that stuff is, they have a leader that's going to help. They have a model. They have a goal. You represent more than a standard. You represent a goal. You represent a target. But you also represent a model. You are where they want to be when they're ready to go to the next level. There is nothing more disappointing. I don't care how many times people tell you otherwise. I'm telling you the truth. Okay? We may want you to have feet of clay, but your people need you to wear gold shoes over those feet of clay. They need to know that there's a hope. We represent hope in leadership. You represent inspiration. You represent a possibility and probability, things that couldn't be. So we teach that. You know, we teach about a leadership mystique. That is why we have this retreat, because you need a place to become who God is making you. And your pulpit on Sunday morning, fussing and fuming and frustrated, is not that place. You need a place to go for God to finish making you, and sitting around the dinner table laughing and joking and getting involved in all kinds of coarse and crass things with your folks just to show them that you're different, that you haven't changed, is not the way to go. They may appreciate you, but when they want something serious done, they don't come to you. They appreciate you being the good old guy and the good old girl, but they won't come to you when they want something serious done, because this is what they think. He's no better than me. Well, she don't have any more information. I mean, after all, we were sitting at the table. We were doing this and we were doing that. They will not trust you. And the whole essence of leadership is that you invoke a trust that let people know God is involved with somebody enough to see to it that when they need him, they can find him in you. And so it is wonderful to say, yeah, we just, you know, we'll all slum together. We'll all do this and that together. But when people have a serious issue, they're going to go to a serious leader, because the leadership mystique is what they need to feel like somebody has the answers. Your people want to believe that you have an in with God that they don't have. They want to believe that. They want to believe that you know something about God, that God gives you access to him and an audience with him that they can't have. They want to know that. That's what they felt about Moses at the mountain. They told Moses, hey, listen, you know, God's pretty strong. He's stern. He's you know, he's no joke. You know, there's no either or with him. So here's what we want you to do, Moses. You go up the mountain and you go listen and get what we need from God. And whatever you say you bring back, we're going to trust you. That is an honor. And so, you know, in this whole deterioration of leadership, in this whole deterioration of order and structure, we've been robbed. Trust me, your people do not come to you if they don't think you know anything. They won't come to you if they don't think you have the answers. And they certainly are going to come to you if they think you are, if you're doing what they're doing, because they know they're messing up with Jesus. And they feel like if you are messing up with God with them, then you are messing up out of their sight. And that does not breed confidence. Our job is to breed confidence in our people. So the last thing you want to do is, I know we've heard a lot of tale. I never believe it. I never bought into 100% transparency. There's a reason why I have curtains on my window. Now, I may have some sheer curtains on some windows, and I've got heavy drapes on other windows. There's a reason why I have a door in my door frame, in my wall, and there's a reason why it closes. Anything that I feel I want protected, that I want to have shielded because I want to protect it and perfect it, that has a doorway. Now, you can walk around there. There are a lot of, when you look at, even on TV, these folks on television, these huge windows, they're not, all of these windows are not in the bedroom, and if they are, they're up on a cliff somewhere. You got to be in a helicopter to look in those windows. But for the most part, you do not want to walk around being a window pane. You want to be a leader. Your people have got to believe that there is something about you that they lack, that they must come to you to get. And when they come, they must feel that they aren't going to walk away disappointed. And right now, we have a lot of disappointed followers in the body of Christ. We have a bought into that, hey, good old this and good old that, and leadership won't change me, and I'm just like you. I'm no better than you. You may not be any better than they are as a human being, but positionally, you need to be better. You do not want your doctor to be the same person that's standing in Walgreens aisle with you talking about, I wonder what this is. If he doesn't know, you don't want him to tell you he doesn't know. Now, you would say, he could say, I'll refer you to a colleague, but you want to feel that he has access to information that you are precluded from having. You want to feel that your attorney has access that you don't have. Why? Because you want them to bring you back your portion of it. They don't want your entire office, and they don't want your entire institution, but they do want the piece they need when they need it. And so we're looking at that. I'm looking at leadership today, and we're working so hard to be like the people. We are no longer leading. The people are leading the leaders. Because when the rule of leadership is that whoever is trailing is the follower. Whoever sets the pace is the leader. So if the people are setting the pace, then the people are leading. And if the people are leading, you're never going to get anywhere because they started out not knowing where they were going. That's why they had a leader. And so for those of you who are, I'm talking about the body of Christ, I have nothing, I don't know about the rest, that's something else. I'm telling you that you, the body of Christ, needs to put its clothes back on. It needs to put its garments back on. The leaders need to put their, and they need to go back in their office. Hallelujah. And they need to put that mystique back up so that people feel like there's a hope. Because if Jesus can't manage you as a leader, they know he can't help them. See, there are certain unspoken expectations that people can't even voice, but they feel them. And it doesn't make a difference how holy or unholy they are, how sullied they are by the world, or how pure. It doesn't make a difference. What they want is to believe that God can choose great leaders and that God's leaders can deliver the way they expect him to. And, yeah, they're going to call you all kinds of names because that's what people do. People are going to call you names whether you're rich or poor, old or young, sick or well, good or bad. It doesn't matter because name-calling is what we do. You know, criticism is what we do. Judging, that's what we do. That's what humans do. That's humanity. That's life on earth, or as Solomon says, life under the sun. So you're going to have that. But you have to determine whether or not your destiny is going to be fulfilled by you or by the people God sends you to serve, because both of you all can't fulfill your destiny. One person is going to have to fulfill it, and the other one is going to have to benefit from it. So you have to decide that, and that is where leadership mystique comes in. We do need that. I don't care what anybody says. You cannot check people that you can say they all think about. They love going to the gym with you. They love it. Oh, yeah, well, we can get in the pool together. We can do all of that. But trust me, people don't think that way. When it's all over, people don't think that way. You know? And I want you to hear me because it's important that you recognize that leadership thing is it. We bought into that. Well, we'll just look like them. We'll act like them. We'll talk like them. But Moses knew better. When the people got to the point that they forgot why they were in his life and he was in theirs, he distanced himself. He pitched a tent out away from them. He pitched it far enough away for them to have to look over and see him, and close enough for them to reach him if he needed to get to them. But he did that. Why? The mystique was gone. They had forgotten what it was about. Now we're settling down into the routine of life. This is after the ceremony, you know. You've been inaugurated. They've laid hands on you. You've got power here. You're going, this is fine. But now we're settling down. All of that power and all of those exploits achieved their purpose, got people to where they are, got them out of sin, got them born again, got them filled with the Holy Ghost, got them going to church, got them cleaned up, ready to live for God. Now is when you have to establish if the reason you entered their life is the reason you should stay there. And if it is, then you should not offer them disappointment in exchange for their faith. So God wants us to have a certain level of, you should be with your peers. You should, if you're having a problem, don't share them with your leader. Don't even share it with your family at home. A lot of your family can't get saved because they've sat around the table hearing you gripe, fuss, criticize, backstab, accuse and talk. And the family, they listen and it's wonderful, but you know what they say? Oh, well, I mean, I might as well stay where I am because it's not working for you. We forget we are the Lord's promotional team. We're his advertising. We're his marketing force. We're his sales force. And when we do a lot of things, that's why the church is where it is today. We bought into a lot of things that the enemy needed to dismantle the household of faith, starting by dismantling your faith. So we have to get back online with some things. And I'll tell you, those of you who like to say leadership won't change me, when I hear a leader says that, I remove them immediately because it's supposed to change you. If you work for one company and go to another company, you must change. You leave one state, go to another state, you must change. You leave one relationship, get in another, you must change. Why in the world are you going to tell people leadership is not supposed to change you? If it wasn't supposed to change you, what did you enter it for? What was it all about? It was supposed to change you so that you would stop being a beneficiary of leadership only, and you would start being a provider, a supplier. So you'd stop taking from and begin to be a part of what delivers. So God expects it to change you. The mind of leadership is supposed to change you. If you are, any time you take responsibility for anything, the day before a woman delivers a baby, she's one person. The day after she delivers that baby, she's another person, and she must change. And if she doesn't change, they call her a neglectful mother. If that father does not change from being the wonderful guy that had a great time on a date to being that one that's going to get up and take care of that baby, he is putting his child at risk. So everything that adds to your responsibilities must change you. If it adds to your responsibility, it must change you. Now, if you don't want to change, then you should not have taken the reins of leadership. But if you did, then it has to happen. And so we have all of these leaders who came on board who didn't want to change. And then we had leaders who put leaders in power and didn't require change. Or the changes they required were so extreme, so difficult that people couldn't live up to it, whatever that is. But those are some of the things that you need to know. And that's not something you need to hear sitting around a table with your friends and sitting around a table with your sheep or your attendants. There are times your attendants should not even go where you have to go to learn from God. Moses knew when to take Joshua, when to leave Joshua at the base of the mountain, when to leave Joshua at the middle of the mountain. And God told him, don't you bring him all the way up here, because what I have to say to you and how I have to reveal myself to you, he cannot handle. And yet Joshua was destined for it, but he still couldn't handle it as long as Moses was holding the fort. And as long as his seat was still occupied, Joshua had to stay in his place. So the Bible gives us great reasons for that. Why? Because what people, when they become familiar, they become contemptuous. They cannot help it, because we need novelty. Humans need new stuff all the time. And they need mysteries, and they need secrets, and they need all of those kinds of things that make life worth pursuing in their mind. That's the reason why God is very selective about who he reveals himself to. He's very restrictive about that, extremely so. He'll say over and over again, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. And when you make God too common, God will pull back. Your anointing will dry up because you made him too casual. God's like, I don't have an identity crisis. I know why I am the Most High. And so he needs us to change our attitudes about a lot of things. We want to fix a problem, fix the situation with leadership, and we don't want to, A, take responsibility for our part in it, and we all have one, and, B, we don't want to break ranks with what we've been doing to go and get to be repaired. Do you realize that? When a company wants to change its direction, it starts with its leaders, and they don't do it in television broadcast, in a television show. They do it in a retreat. They do it in a closed setting, in a quiet setting, so that the person is strengthened by the process, not humiliated and not devastated. And so God wants us to understand he's making changes in leadership, and he's looking for those who are going to go to the next level. And I'm going to end our discussion on this point because I think it's very valuable, and we have a lot planned for you today, so I'm excited about today's call. But I want to tell you this. There are reasons why God won't move. We're waiting. When is heaven going to move? Lord, it's getting bad. But first of all, God's like, I didn't create the situation that is squeezing you guys. You did. Now, I don't have a problem fixing it. God can fix this thing tomorrow. That's not God's issue. And we need to get clear on what God's issue is, because what we are assuming are his issues are not those. Number one, God's a great leader. He is the almighty God. In order for God to fix anything, he's got to devastate stuff. And people are begging God not to devastate their lives. So you can't have reparation and without some sort of devastation, without some sort of discomfort, dismantling, upset, it's going to happen. In order for God to do that, it's going to happen. For a company to get taken over by a new company, it involves the upset of both sides. So that's first. The second thing, God will not move unless he's trained people to keep what he started going. He's not going to go and do our work. God's not our servant. He's not our slave. Jesus came as a servant once and said, when you see me again, you're going to see me in glory. So the second reason why God doesn't move the way we want him to move is because he has to have a a maintenance force, a keeping force, people who will who understand what he did, so it takes a while to train them. He's got to train them, okay? Look at the prophets. Okay, I'm getting ready to do so-and-so. Okay, I'm doing so-and-so. Well, I'm getting this going. I'm planning this. So his plans are being spread out across the planet to the people that he is going to use. Why? Because he'll have a great, I mean, a huge move, and nobody knows what he did. What was this about? I mean, well, I felt good. Didn't our heart burn within us? Listen, let me tell you, the people who said their heart burned within them, that was an affirmation, not a discovery. And it certainly wasn't about entertainment or fascination. So God is not going to move just to have your heart burn within you, because he can do that without doing a thing. But he wants to make things happen. And the third thing is that when God moves, he has to judge the old to vindicate his involvement and his replacement of it. So anytime God has to replace something, he's got to make a decision on it. And judgment is about a decision. He has to render a judgment of this is staying on course or it got off course. It's going the way I want or it's not going the way I want. So he has to make those decisions. Now, how does he do it? He first does it by articulating those his issues with the people that he knows are listening to him. And not a lot of people are wanting to hear God today. You know, we're supposed to be children of the prophets, but the last thing we want to do is deal with the prophets. And the last thing the prophets want to do is to be deal with worthy. Worthy of trust, worthy of respect or credible. So we have a lot that has to happen. So God has to first explain what his issues are to others, to the people that he's going to use to broadcast what they are to his body. After he does that, in the back room, he's got to train these people, because when he moves, he has to have the replacements ready. That's how God moves. He gets the replacements ready. See, because you don't wait and you don't just come in and have a storm and then don't know how to do it, how to fix it. That's not how you do things. So he's doing that. Now, he's also got to test and vet the replacements and make sure that when he's, what he sets up and sets in motion will bring about his results, his objectives. So that takes time. So God has got a whole process, and because we're dealing with an icon on our wall, many of us treat Jesus like he's the pictures on our wall, and that he's the images on our stone buildings. So we really don't expect anything close to reality or logic or common sense to come from him, because in our minds, he isn't real. In our minds, he doesn't have a kingdom. In our minds, he has no power, because we have dealt with Jesus in church 2 hours a week, the end. Now, what he does all the rest of the week, we don't know about. But that is what the leaders must discover. It is the job of a leader, it's the task of the leaders to know what Jesus does the remainder of the time the people are out of his presence. Because when the people are out of his presence is when we're supposed to be in his presence. See, we leave his presence to minister to his people, to bring back what he has. But when the people are out of God's presence, we're supposed to be in his presence, getting ready for the next time they come before him, or the next time they need a prayer answer, or they need to reach out. So it's a powerful thing to understand how God thinks and how God moves and how God sets up systems, because we've heard so much magic. We have a magic mentality about him. Well, all you do is just stand on your Bible, and God's going to do it. You stand on your Bible, it's going to get dirty. That's the best you're going to get out of standing on a Bible. It's going to get dirty. You're going to ruin the pages, and, well, you know, it looks strange, okay? So that's not going to work. Well, all you do is just stand outside and shout to the heavens. Well, okay, you'll get a breeze, you'll get some air, so your noise and sound. Folks will hear you, think something's wrong. But it's still not going to move heaven. God is Logos. Jesus is called Logos for a reason, because there's a logic to him. There's a logic to how God operates. The angels of God are not going to be impressed with that. You can do all of these machinations, but they make you feel good. They don't move God, and we have to differentiate between what makes us feel good and what fuels our faith and what facilitates God's answers. See, because we have to know the difference, and so far we've kind of muddied that up. You know, well, we're just all going to run around the church and God's going to move. No, you just had a little athletics in the church, nice little calisthenics in church, but God's not moving on that, because that's not what he said he moves on. He said he hearkens to the voice of his word. He said he moves on prayer. He said he moves on faith. He said he moves on well-defined visions. He says he moves on written visions. He said he moves on people who believe in him. He said he moves with the diligent. He moves with the prophets. He has some specific ways he moves that we don't tell you about. And so until we start moving or doing what will move him. We're going to have wonderful times running around churches, slinging handkerchiefs, slinging oil, splashing water, all of that theatrics. But our lives still won't be touched because God is not crazy. He's not inane. And we do a lot of inane things. And when preachers say in pulpit to have you do inane things, you feel good. And those are nice. If you want to have a catharsis, that's all they are. They're just spiritual cathartics. But if you're talking about moving God and making things happen with God, that's a whole different mindset. And that is when you must go to Paul's words to the Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus came to the planet with a particular mindset. And that mindset achieved everything God wanted, so much so that God gave him an eternal kingdom and a whole brand new world. So he's got a new world and a new race of people. See, they might have owned everything, but owning and controlling two different things. You know, you can own something as an infant in the womb, but you can't control it. It's when God gives you control over something, dominion over it, that you and he have had a full meeting of the mind. So, again, I just want to tell you, because I wanted to share that, this whole idea that leadership won't change me. No, leadership is supposed to change you. You're supposed to be a better version of who you are. You're supposed to, that's why you have a double portion. You know, we talk about the double portion. And a double portion is what you need to be who you are and then what the people are going to need to get to receive from you. So you're going to need that. You're going to need the double portion. And some of you all, I'm looking at by the Spirit, you're going to need a triple and quadruple portion for what God put on you. So, again, as I wrap this up, because we have a couple of guests who are going to tell you about how our first retreat went, but as I wrap this up, I want to say to you, bless the holy name of the Lord, that God has a plan for you. And, you know, the whole idea that we have passed on, that well, God will give it to you directly, you only feel that way about God. If your job wants to train you for a position or wants to promote you, they send you to training. You expect to go. You expect to be prepared. You're proud of it. Hey, I'm going to do this. I mean, if you want a new company, you're going to work for a new company, you're proud of it. But when it comes to God, we want magic because we really don't believe he is real. Because the realer you think something is, the more effort and investment you'll make in it. And so I would encourage you again, when our show is over today, then go to my website, drpaulaprice.com, and say, I want to sign up for the retreat. And you make it happen, because I'm going to tell you something. When people tell me, I can't do it, I won't make it happen, I don't have the money, let me tell you, the first thing you have to do to get promoted is to have some money, and if you don't have it, find out the power you can to make it happen. Great people create revenue. That's why they're great. They create revenue. They know finance or resource, so they go and get them. You get your other resources, you get that. But if you're called to great things, you're called to be promoted in this year, if you're called to make something happen, this is the place to begin. I promise you, by the Spirit of the living God who has redeemed both our souls, all of our souls, you will not be disappointed. I promise you that. Hallelujah. So, Ashley, it's on you.
All right. Well, Dr. Price, thank you for your words of wisdom, and I'll say your words of deep impact, because they go deep. And there's a gentleman I know who's going to be getting on for prayer. He's going to a job interview, and he said, I'm getting my fill of wisdom before I go, because I need this work to fill me up. And so this really is the favorite part of my week as well. It's true. You got to plug in and get it while it's rolling out. I want to tell everyone on the line, if you have a prayer request, press 1. We have some openings. Believe it or not, it happens every now and again. There are some openings to get prayer from Dr. Price. See, somebody's already pushing that button. To get prayer from Dr. Price today and that counsel and wisdom and insight. Nope, there's another one. All right, lighting up. So don't be the wallflower or the bump on the log, satisfied with waiting to hear counsel for everybody else. Make sure you also get that wisdom that is just for you. Now, I'm going to appreciate the wisdom for you, but make sure you get that wisdom that is for you as well.
I'm going to appreciate that wisdom. Woo! Well, I tell you what, I'm looking forward to what God is doing, because God is making a thing happen. And I do want to take the calls and talk about it today, but I also want to hear from our prophet on the ground, because I know she's there. And then after that, we have prizes up your sleeve, right?
I do. I have a live surprise, and I have a sent surprise, so yes.
Well, then let's go forward.
All right, Prophet Adia, tell us what's going on out there in the kingdom.
All right, good afternoon. Good afternoon, Paul Price Show audience. We want to let you know how you can connect with Dr. Price and all the events that she's got going on. The retreat that she was speaking about earlier this morning, you can actually apply to receive an invitation to the retreat at drpaulaprice.com right there on the homepage. You just want to click request an invite to attend. Also, if you're on our email list, you can click through your email as well. Let us know a little bit about yourself, your journey in the Lord, so we can get to know you. And then as soon as you fill out your information, you'll hear from us on where to go from there. So we're looking forward to getting to know you. Again, drpaulaprice.com. Click on the Apostleship Retreat ad and let us know that you would like an invitation to attend, and we'll make sure to get you all the information. Coming up this June, the Tulsa Prophetic Forum 19th through the 21st. It's June 19th through the 21st. There is an orientation session on the 18th of June, which is Wednesday evening. That starts at 7:30. If you're coming into town early, you'll definitely want to be in attendance for that, 7:30 to about 9 o'clock that evening. And then the first session for the forum starts the 19th through the 21st. You do not want to miss this. The buy one, get one sale has ended. However, we do have a sale right now to the 15th of April where you can buy one registration at the standard rate, which is $125, and get your second registration for 50% off. So if you miss the buy one, get one, you can definitely still participate in this special as long as you do that before the 15th of April. If you're coming by yourself, the individual rate for the form is $99, and that is through May 1st. So you can definitely still register if you're coming alone. If you're coming from the Chicago area, don't miss the opportunity that was shared with you last week about the charter bus that is coming down. It will be leaving from Joliet, Illinois, which is just outside of Chicago. So if you're in that area and you don't want to purchase a plane ticket to fly down to Tulsa, make sure that you get connected with us. We'll get you all the information that you need to be a part of that charter bus that is coming down from Joliet, Illinois. Our number here is 877-419-1299. 877-419-1299, and we can get you all the information that you need to get on that charter bus. Or you can visit Antioch, it's actually antiochcaci.org if you want information directly about getting on that charter bus. So either way, you can give us a call or you can contact Antioch at antiochcaci.org to get on that charter bus. You absolutely do not want to miss this event, so make sure you get in on one of those deals, and we'll see you here in June. Last but certainly not least, connect with us on Facebook. Dr. Price is on Facebook.com. We want you to hit her new page if you want to hit Apostle Paula Price, and click like so that we can make you a part of our Facebook family. Dr. Price posts inspirational, motivational, challenging, empowering messages, usually every morning. Sometimes she posts a prayer. So you want to get in on that. If you're listening on the line right now, go to Facebook.com, click like Apostle Paula Price so that you can instantly be connected to her network. We want to share with you. We want you to share with us. We want to hear from you. You can message Dr. Price there on her Facebook. And we want to make sure that we announce today that if you do have a prayer request and you're calling in for prayer, or let's say during the week you want us to cover you in prayer, we actually have a special email just for you. You want to email us at prayer@ppmglobalresources.com. prayer@ppmglobalresources.com, because guess what? We want to pray for you, and we want to stand with you for your breakthrough. So our intercessory team is praying around the clock for you and for your needs. Email us prayer@ppmglobalresources.com. You can email us anytime. We will send you a prayer in response to let you know that we are covering you and standing for you. So don't miss out on that either. Visit us at drpaulaprice.com for all of your fivefold ministry needs. You can visit us on the bookstore to check out our deals for this month and all that we've got going on. And we're excited about being able to provide this service to you. So take advantage of us. We want to serve you. We'll see you online.
All right, thank you, Prophet Adia, always bringing to us new information, fresh resources, hot off the Dr. Price press. We also have our online courses that are available to you 24/7. That commissioning course, Building Your Commissioning Team, is still going strong. And the Jesus classes is also up online. You're going to see some promotions about that specifically coming out for why you need to enroll in a class about Jesus Christ, right? It seems like, oh, Christian, I'm saved. Isn't that enough? No. But Dr. Price, back to you.
Well, first of all, we have a lot going on. Actually, I like the prayer email. I hope they take advantage of it because we do pray. We pray and we answer prayers. We don't just pray and let you kind of figure out whether or not we did it. I don't have that. My team must pray and they must write out what God tells them. If it's 3 words or if it's 3 or 30 words, I won't let them go too deep because, you know, that's not the purpose. But they will answer you. So don't think that you'll post your prayers and you hope that we'll get to it or you hope that we pray. If we pray and we get an answer, we get a word. If I don't care if it's hold on, hold fast, I'm able, it's changing, whatever. You need to know that they, in my organization, you do not pray, and I have to take your word for it that God said something. I need to know that God has answered because we are in an environment with the Lord where he is immediate to us. We get audience with the King. We expect it, and we expect him to answer. So when we take a petition to the Lord, we expect for him to say something. I don't care if he says, wait, hold on. I'll be there in a minute. I don't know, something. But I don't expect dead air with God. I never have in the 32 years I've walked with this man. I have never expected dead air. And I've got to tell you, he's not giving me dead air. He really hasn't. One way or the other, I'm going to get something. And a couple of times he tested me to see if I was interested in hearing him answer, if I just wanted to assume or presume on him. I don't do either. I respect my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's the most precious thing going. He's a phenomenal, phenomenal person, phenomenal God, King, and man. And so I enjoy him. So if you're going to send us a prayer, we're going to do something with your prayer, not just, well, thanks for contact. You won't get an auto response, but if you do, it'll say somebody's going to send you something. So don't feel like you can't send us your prayers. Ashley, am I almost close? I think I got it right. You guys pray every single day. You don't stop praying. We have, what, 3 or 4 prayer sessions in the morning. Don't we, Ashley?
Yes. Yes, this is true.
So you have to think about it because you guys start like 5 o'clock. So, Ashley, I have here on my Facebook from Lakeisha White. You know, she's my girl that's been promoting the $15 a month for our partnership. But she says, I'm on my way to take my praxis. Please keep me in your prayers. So, God, we issue prayer right now for Lakeisha White as she's going out to take her praxis. God, give her supernatural recall. Give her favor, and God, elevate her to perform above and beyond what even she can ask or think in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You remember last week, Ashley, she said she was she had just take her praxis to get to teach where she wants to teach.
That's right. That's right.
So we have to pray her in, and those of you who are listening, and Ashley, you know, you need to go on my Facebook. I got a wonderful testimony from Cassandra Dickinson. Man, I'm telling you, this is great. These people are getting some fruit from the kingdom and the king. So I'm excited. Got another one from Karis Thornton. So you can go on there and share with these later on because I like the connection. And, you know, every week Prophet Adia says check us out on Facebook. So if she says it, I think that we need to let know that they don't just get lost in a number. My heart is to be able to let people know that you're loved. So many times, Ashley, and you can agree to this, people spend weeks and weeks and weeks just toiling through life, trying to make it, hoping to get some validation, hoping to get some affirmation, and you don't get it. And it can be very barren out there when God is getting you ready for his use. So we don't like to ignore anyone. There are times that we might. If we do, you just need to know. We'll catch up with you because we don't let the ball drop. So, Prophet Ashley, what have you got on your plate?
Well, next we have an apostle who attended the Executive Apostleship Training retreat last year. And I have to say that her region in Connecticut is one of your strongest listening, your stronghold listeners of the Paula Price Show. And they're like neck and neck sometimes with Chicago area. So Connecticut represents very well with the Paula Price Show every single month. But Apostle Suzanne Howard, welcome to the Paula Price Show. Dr. Price, I'm going to have you take her away. I'm going to go to the lines to line up your prayer request.
That's going to be wonderful. Well, welcome, Apostle Suzanne. How are you doing, my beloved?
Hi, Dr. Price. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great. It's great to have you. You know, I enjoyed it. So I asked her because I wanted to the people to hear what what you got and what I'm talking about with this retreat. So I'm going to just step back now and give you a few moments to share your experience and the fruit of it, if you don't
Amen.
Mind.
Amen. Not at all. First, I want to say the retreat word gives some of us a mental image that you're going to be there in a lot of quiet time. You're going to have time for prayer journaling, and you're going to be alone a lot and maybe sitting off in distant room just having quiet time with the Lord. That's what I get as a visual when I think of a retreat. This is not like that. To me, this is a briefing. This is a meeting of God's generals and general elect where we come together and we sit and we learn and we listen and we pray for one another. It is encouraging. It is uplifting. I love the fact that it's, and this may not be in favor to PPM Global, but I love the fact that it is a small group because we're able to have time to ask questions, get them answered, and not just answer so that we actually understand the question and the answer that we wanted to know. I love it because we sit at this round table and we're not going through workshop by workshop with teachers or workshop facilitators at different levels where you're like, yeah, I enjoyed this workshop, and, yeah, this one was pretty interesting. You are with the – I'm just going to say it. You are with the top leaders. To me, this Dr. Price Ministries and the team that she has, her prophets, they are the best thing we have going right now on this side of heaven as far as teaching on apostolic apostleship, apostles, that if you miss this, then you really don't have much plans for yourself. Dr. Price opened up and said, you're not going to be where you are right now by the end of this year. But I say you will if you don't attend this retreat. It changes everything. It's so centered on apostles that you're actually connecting with others who are going through some of the prophetic things you're going through, some of the dry places where you're not sure, am I the only one that's going through this? You're meeting with people who are like-minded, similar, the warfare that we go through. You find out, like, wow, like, I don't have to give up because there are other people that are going through the same thing, that this is actually part of the apostolic call that's on my life. It is more than a confirmation, and it's more than an affirmation. To me, this is the event. This is so needed. I love the prophetic forum. I've attended twice, I believe, already. I came into contact with Dr. Price's ministry, and I believe it was 2011, and it was at a time in my life where I was ready to quit. Yes, I'm going to admit that. I was ready to quit, and I called out of desperation, and thank God that I met the right people because I was told desperate people will eat anything. Well, God took me to the right table, and I have been eating thoroughly and being full with what God has been feeding me through this ministry. It has revolutionized my thinking, my passion, my pursuit for what God has for me. And I'm telling you, the first couple of days, you'll be a little embarrassed of yourself because I was like a deer caught in headlights. I was just frozen. At one point, I just dropped the pen and said, I can't write anymore. This stuff is like, it was mind-blowing. But it wasn't to the point where you could not understand. I was able to understand it. The key is to go over your notes, refresh yourself in the notes so many weeks or every so many months so that you can keep it alive in you until you're able to get to the next retreat. They're every year. And what I liked about it most was when I came back and shared with my leadership. Listen, this is key. I need you to listen right here. This is key. My leadership team, and I believe I've seen this across the states, leadership is ready to be sent out. That is the whole goal of why we get saved and remain a Christian, because one day I'm going to have my own church. You know, we were all on this big pastor boat. Everybody's going to be a pastor, and everybody's going to have their own church. Well, this settled my leadership down, and it even caused a shift in the leadership with some left, and it wasn't scary like it used to be for me because I was direct, and I was settled in the commission that God called me on. And when I was able to sit with my leaders and discuss with them what my commission is, what my purpose is, what my mantle can do in their life, it settled them down. My leadership actually turned around and came back to me and said, Apostle, we are not ready. And they came as a group. They had had this little meeting on the side. And they came to me and said, Apostle, we are not ready. We need to be settled down. We need to be taught on commission. We need to be taught on how to produce a leadership for the apostle so that the work of the apostle can be done. And if we're sent out, well, glory to God, it will be an honor. But if we're not, this is where we need to be. This is what we need to know. And they sit at the table with me now, and it is such a settling in the whole church because the church has felt the leadership. And they felt the anxiousness of the leadership. Now the leadership is settled, and they're like, teach us, just give us more, just give us more. We're taking the commission training, and it is teaching them, and it is also teaching myself, but it's not at the level that I was before. My anointing, my office has catapulted that my leadership team, they just glean from the teaching that I'm able to give them now, and it brings a peace to us all. So I'm serious. I would not miss this retreat. I would start listening to the commission teaching now. You need to get into the life tracks. I mean, I can tell you the whole thing right from the beginning. But the main thing I'm going to tell you is do not miss this opportunity. Leaders, apostles, pastors, if you have to get your church to buy into this, then that's what you need to do. They want from you what you don't have right now. And the only way they're going to get it, and you are going to get it, is by taking the time and going to this retreat. Just ask 100 members to give you something, 50 members to buy into this so that they can see and be, it's just not a natural awe. They will be awed in the spirit at what comes out of you because what's already in us, it's there, but it's not being pulled up so they're not getting the best of our anointing and our office. But if you go to this retreat, I'm telling you, don't miss it. Do whatever you have to do. If you want to find me on Facebook and ask me some questions, I will be glad to answer your questions, but don't think of it as a retreat where you're going to be left alone and walking out in the woods and writing in your prayer journal. Uh-uh, baby. Bring your new notebook, your fresh pen, because you are going to be taught every dime that you invest, you're going to get back a dollar on it, and I can promise you that in the name of Jesus Christ. So I pray that I've expressed myself. The best person to do this, I know, is Dr. Price because she has a passion for it, but if I have given you just a seed, I pray that it brings forth its harvest to you in the name of Jesus.
What a blessing. I'm telling you, first of all, I couldn't express it that well because you express from your experience. I express it from my passion and my vision.
Amen.
And together, we convey God's motives for this. I like what you said about your leaders, how they got it, you know, because we have to give the people a reason to buy in. You know, I have a section in the training we talked about getting your people to buy in because a lot of people are with you for 20, 30 years, never buy in. Their money goes elsewhere. Their strength goes someplace else. They're part of this group, that group, and they can't buy in because they aren't anchored. And I love how you said that. But I'm going to ask you two questions before I let you go, just two. So aren't you glad?
Just two. I'm glad.
I mean, you've done a great job as articulate as I need it. But I want to ask you two questions. My first question to you is, what would if a person isn't an apostle or prophet, like they heard, what would they get out of this, even though we know that it's about the move of God, his apostolic side? So the first thing is, I'd like you to answer that. And the second thing I'd like you to do, and you did a great job with it, but I just want to hear you give me just one more thing you did as a result of the training that you know directly correlated to your investment in that time.
Okay. First question. I would recommend someone who's not an apostle or a pastor going because, one, it teaches you on the apostolic, and it brings it all together. See, that the apostolic teaching for what I'm learning or have learned is that it's church as usual. It's not the family church thing. This is the kingdom. So if you're sitting under an apostle or an officer of the fivefold and you don't understand why they're not coming across as the cutesy, everything's going to be okay, I love you, pat you on the back, instead they're saying, okay, yeah, you have an issue, I heard you, all right, now let's get back to work. And you can't understand the difference in why. They're not nice to me. This doesn't feel like church anymore. I have people, Dr. Price, that told me, I liked her better when she was a pastor. Those things hurt. I had no way to even explain to them why they felt that way. This will teach you that there had to be a shift, And you have to learn how to walk with apostles or any officer of the fivefold, because there are different operating mantle on them than it is for just a regular pastor or someone who's just doing church as usual. So it helps you understand the apostolic. It helps you be able to walk with a pastor or an apostle. And it also helps you to carry out the commission that you need to know that your pastor or apostle has. You need to know what their commission is so that you know your part instead of having us all in different lanes. And is that okay? Did I do all right there?
Superb. Superb. Okay.
All right. And then the second question, what was the one thing I was able to take back with me or made me different?
The thing that you did, in other words, everything that I teach, I like it to be mm-hmm. doable and actionable. So what mm-hmm. did you I can do with it that produced something for you that you can directly connect to that investment?
Well, the first thing I had to do, honestly, I had to invest a little more. This is just for me. I had to have more than my eldership go through the assessments. I needed my next core leadership that was emerging, that was coming through our ministry school, had to get them assessed, because this is key for me. This is so relevant. And I believe that if we all could get together as a whole body, as Christ intended, we would understand this better. There are so many churches and ministries that have a vision for a building. All of us want a 5,000 to 25,000 member church. The problem is we have a vision for the church building. We have a vision for the church building fund, but we have no vision for the people. So I had about 200 people, and I had no idea what to do for them. I would go before the Lord, Dr. Price, and say, why do you keep sending these people to me? Some of them were proficient in the word. They have been in church longer than their leader. They had been saved longer than I was saved. I had no idea what to do with them. And I could see their faces as they were like, well, I'm going to be in this church probably for the rest of my life and just accept it. That wasn't enough for me. I needed something so that I could see the fruit of what God had done in my life through my leadership. So with the teaching that I got at the retreat, I was able to come back and restructure my house. You are called. You are anointed, but you're not ready yet. And you are in eldership now, but you haven't been trained for anything outside of that. We know our Bibles inside and out. Some of them can quote scriptures better than I could quote scriptures, but they had no idea that God had a plan for them, and it wasn't for everybody to necessarily pastor a church. So we had to shift our leadership, the whole dynamic, and they loved it. They loved it so much that I was able to answer questions, because there was things I felt on the inside of me, but I had never heard it before from anyone else, so I kept it in. And I got so much confirmation from the retreat that when I came back home, I was able to just boom, 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 belt it all out, because now it made sense. It wasn't just me. I wasn't the only one that God was downloading kingdom teaching to. So when I brought it back home, the people now know that there's a purpose for me. They invest in their church. They invest in their ministry. They come in ready for meetings. They don't come now when I say we're having a leaders and workers meeting. They don't show up like, yeah, here we go. Now we're just going to hear about, you know, what we've done wrong and what the leader needs. They found out that Jesus Christ has a will and a purpose and a plan for my life, and my leader knows it and accepts it. You won't be afraid of a favor on their life. You will actually use them in the capacity that they're called to, because you understand that they have a calling as you have one of your own as well. So I was able to bring an identity. I was able to bring back, I don't like when we say new teaching, but I was able to bring back correct teaching on that the purpose for us in the church is really one that we can call our own. There's a place for all of us, and we shouldn't just be cheerleaders. We need to be team players.
Amen. Well, I tell you what, I cannot wait for us to get together again. I
Me
am excited.
Too.
Thank you for sharing. You have been amazing. You know how much I love you. But to hear, see, because it did what I envisioned. I envisioned arming you, empowering you, and you going back and arming and empowering your leaders, because in the final analysis, the final analysis, and everybody listening should know, the pastor only touches a handful of people. It's the strength of your leaders that determine the strength of your organization. And so if your leaders are uncertain, you can rest assured your people are floating. So thank you so much for sharing, Apostle Suzanne. We're going to be together real soon. I love you, love you, love you. Thank God for you.
I love you too. Thank you, Dr. Price. God bless you.
God bless you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Prophet.
Wow, that was
that was amazing.
Yes, it was. I mean, it's just great to hear right from the source exactly how this has transformed. This is your vision. This is your dream. I mean, I can't even tell you how Apostle Howard just completely validated everything that you paid the price for by saying, but people will love this. If you do it the right way, your people will buy into your vision. Even the nervous Nellies, you know, the Chicken Little, the sky is falling, I don't know, I don't like change. But if the leader comes informed and not just inspired, because a lot of people move by inspiration, but they don't really move by information, it makes all the difference in the world. And so I completely respect her for taking that back to her house and accurately applying it and getting the right fruit. Because sometimes, Dr. Price, people don't really apply it. You know, they don't read the directions. They don't use as instructed. And then they get a different result and will blame the source when it's not the source. It's actually, but you didn't do what you were taught. Oh, no, I know, but I just kind of did it this way. So I am completely excited. And you will be hearing this in a commercial coming soon to a show near you.
Oh, it is. Are you kidding? It's an excellent testimony, and it makes the point. And that's what I wanted to know, that it makes the point. Hey, Ashley, how about how she started it? I love how she started it. Well, now, if you think you're going to be just floating in the woods and spend a lot of time alone, oh, no, and she's right. It is a briefing. We start our briefings early in the morning. We brief every morning. We brief every evening. It is a powerful, powerful time. So, again, I want to encourage you. It's worth it. If you say, well, gee, I don't know if I have the money. Yes, you do. Go to your people because they are going to benefit from it as much as you will. This is worth the press, all of you. So now, Prophet Ashley, we're on our top of our hour. So what I'm going to do, we're going to do a couple of things. We're going to take our calls. Because I want to talk to the people, so we're going to take our calls, and then what we're going to do is we'll wrap up with your the other testimonial of the retreat.
Oh, okay, very good. All right, let's
move.
Go to the lines. We have Nathan on the line from Michigan. He's calling Dr. Price. He's a gentleman I was telling you about. You've spoken to him before, but he's going for a job interview today, a volunteer position that can turn into a job, a paid job, which is the kind we like, and he just wanted some prayer. So, Nathan, welcome back to the Paul Price Show.
Good afternoon. How are you, Dr. Price?
I am wonderful, Nathan. How are you doing, and how is it in Michigan?
It is it's a little cold, but it's great. I've heard your word today, and so I'm ready to go.
Good for you. Yeah, I know you sound like you're on fire to go. So I'm going to pray. Now, when do you start your job?
Well, I have an interview today with RBC Ministries for the Director of Online Learning for their Christian University School. I started as a volunteer. Remember we talked, I left the AME Church 17 months ago today, and so the interview is actually on the same day, the 3rd of April, and I left on November 3rd of 2012.
Excellent. Well, let me pray, because I don't want to confuse you. I don't want you to get off point. I'm going to pray and release you to go and do that interview so you can get this position and move on with God. Hallelujah. How's that?
Yes, ma'am.
And then you have to come back and let us know, but let's first get you the job. Father, in the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Lord, we love you so much. You are a great God. You're the great I am. And, Father, we thank you for finding us faithful, putting us in your ministry, and causing us to be wonderful servants to bear fruit in your kingdom. Now, God, I lift up Nathan's job to you. I lift up this interview to you today, Father God. I'm asking that you, first of all, put in his understanding. You know how you can do it, Lord Jesus. Put it in his mind, his heart, what they will ask, and give him the answers. Your word says that when we stand there, you will speak. So, Father God, I'm asking that you would take over the interview from the inside of him and begin to speak what you know needs to be said. And, Lord, let them see what makes him a great candidate for this position, and I don't have to question if it is for him. I'm saying let them see what makes him the great one for this position, and God, cause him to have favor and cause him to have grace, and Lord, let them bring him on board quickly for him to get back into your service and to begin to bear fruit for what it is that you've called him to do in the kingdom. I bind confusion. I bind mishap, delay, setbacks, and every other thing that would seek to upset the word of the Lord and the destiny path that he's on. And I release him to fulfill your purpose in you and in your house as well as your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So be it.
Amen. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Let it be.
Yes, ma'am. Hopefully I'll have some good news at the retreat.
All right. I'm expecting to hear it. I'm going to shout.
Yes, ma'am. Love you. God bless you. All right.
You too. Bye.
Bye now.
Prophet?
All right. Well, thank you. And he will keep us plugged in because he always keeps me up to date. That's why I love Facebook. It's you don't have to chase people down the way you used to sometimes. You can just post a note, an inbox, and there you go. So God bless him in that. Next on the line, and I see some more people getting in the prayer line queue, which is great. I'll be coming to you in just a second. But, Dr. Price, we have Linda back on the line here from Connecticut. Connecticut, again, is representing. And Linda, when she first came to you, she was the one that you said, don't sit in the front, sit in the middle of the church. So Linda is back with, she dropped. I think our listeners are having some issues with dropped calls today because they keep popping in and out. She'll come back. Okay, well, Linda will be back. However, I'm sorry. I'm just looking at what's going on here in my system here, just kind of rolling around. But we have Della in California. I'm going to go to Della, and you have met Della before. She has a prayer request. It's about she needs to understand God's timing concerning her employment. So she is in her office, and she has to speak kind of low because she's on the call under the radar. And so she'll be quick and brief with what she has to say so that you can do your thing. So, Della, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Well, good morning. Good morning, Dr. Price. How are you?
I am excited, and I'm glad to hear your voice. How are you doing? I know you got a whisper. How are you doing?
Yeah, I know, and my head is bent down kind of low, so, but I'm doing very well. Thank you so much. Looking forward to coming out to the prophetic forum. My husband and I have the last to-do item, which is to get our airline booked, but we're very excited. But my prayer request is this. I would say over the span of about 5 years, maybe six, maybe seven, I don't remember, that I have received three prophetic words from three different prophets, actually two, one twice and then one from another, whom I esteem very dearly and I know of their walk with our Lord. So, but the prophetic word has been spoken with regards to my current job. I have been encouraged to look outside my company. And so, and each time that I was given that word, they would say that the Lord says to start looking now. Well, I know just from my studies that my now and my Lord's now is not always the same now. So I just need to understand.
Okay, the first thing I would tell you is that when God sends you a prophetic word, it has mm-hmm. about particular journeys. Number one, it's information, it's awareness. I know we teach that all prophecy is confirmation, but if that is, then why are we calling it prophecy? Why don't we just call it a report? Because reports,
exactly.
Everybody knows. Prophecy is before time. So, you know, now that doesn't mean it can't confirm, but we cannot just lump it onto that. Now, so that's the first thing. So prophecy starts at getting us not only aware, informed or confirmed, but aware and alert so that God can change our mind, get you used to the idea that you're going to be leaving here soon. So that's the first step. Next step is to get you ready to act on what you're doing, you know, because so many times without a word of the Lord, we'll just expect something to fall in our lap. You know, we'll go to a restaurant and say, aha, you're the one I was looking for. And that doesn't always happen. The next step is that it's also to get us starting to not only act on it, but to prepare and go after it. You know, it's kind of the ask, seek, knock, you know. So mm-hmm. He wants you to now begin to go after it. Now, it can take a year. You might just start interviewing for 6 months or a year. You know, for you, I just think in 3 months you're going to be out. But 6 months to a year, you could be interviewing. But it's getting you, even those interviews are needful to get you back into the mindset of going after a job, of competing for a position, so that you can see the questions, you'll understand what the new market environment is, all of that. So they aren't wrong, even if it takes time, but God is doing all of that so that the day of your, the day of the prophecy and your readiness, as well as your expertise, all converge for you to get it at the time that he already set up.
Praise God. Amen. Praise
so
God.
What you want to do now is get your resume going, start sending it mm-hmm. out, okay, and then start going on interviews so that you can practice.
Okay, okay. And one of the – go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, but then I was going to say and conclude now after you've gotten to it so that when you get to the one that God has in mind, you're polished.
Okay. Okay. Amen. Okay.
Now, you want to say something else, right?
I was, but I'm sitting at my desk. So
okay.
I've already did the preparation of that one document.
Okay.
I did that some time ago after completing the degree studies. I've been in conversations, been looking around, doing some thinking on my own, and just there is a way that I could do some mock
mm-hmm.
preparation. I'm sitting at my desk so that I can do that type of practicing as well.
Sure.
And so I've been doing that and just kind of thinking, praying, being open to the type of industry, the sector, or even my own. And so
mm-hmm.
this is kind of where I'm at. But so I just don't want to miss his timing because I'm hearing what he's saying. And I don't believe I have, but then I'm not sure that I have, so.
Well, here's what I want to say, and then I'm going to pray so I can release you. I don't want you to have a problem at your job. But I want to say this to you. In today's time, you can interview over the Internet. You can interview by phone. You can do all – see, it's different than it was way, way back. So you don't have to talk about, well, I got to take time off or whatever. Companies are very – they are very flexible. They work with you if they're interested, if your resume has captured their attention. So you can do a whole lot of things electronically that we couldn't do before. So I would tell you, don't limit your options or your avenues, because God has more than one way to bless you. But I will tell you this, he does want you to pursue, because that doesn't come easy to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He wants you to go after this, because where you have to go, you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight to keep it, fight for credibility and all of that, and it's all going to be God.
Okay. Okay.
So let me pray. Father, thank you so much for Della calling today. Thank you for ordering her steps, opening up your way, opening up your personnel resources, God, so that she can begin to tap into it and start feeling her way around what it is that you're doing. Give her opportunities. Give her interviews. Lord, give her whatever it takes to get her on the path that she needs and on the line that she needs to fulfill her destiny. I thank you, Lord, that she can't miss it because you're inside and you're in charge. And, God, the times and seasons are in your hands. So I thank you for it. I already open up the way, and I create the process. I activate the process for her to get started on this journey to fulfill the purpose for which you have raised her up in this hour. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that. Amen. Okay.
You're
I better
welcome.
Run. Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Prophet.
Sometimes you have to go undercover to get that wisdom.
Hey, listen, you know what? But the fact of the matter is God expects you to do what it takes. He said, buy wisdom, chase it down, whatever you can do. Go after it.
That's right. Amen. Okay. Next we have on the line Darnetta from Illinois, and she is calling because she has these dreams, and she says they're evil dreams that she's been having, and her 7-year-old daughter is also having these dreams, and they kind of trail each other. One will have them, and then the other will have some the next night. So Darnetta from Illinois, welcome to the Paula Price Show. She's like, I got through. So she's getting through.
Hi, Dr. Price. How are you?
I am fine, Darnetta. How are you doing?
Oh, great. It's a pleasure to finally get to speak with you. I've been trying forever. You're busy.
Well, you know, now, and see, now here's how this is going to go. See, and I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to take my time and get you through, and all of those people waiting, they're not going to get through either, but you don't want me to rush you today, do you?
No.
See, that's what I'm talking about. It's like, okay, I'll keep calling, but you, I'm the, if I'm going to become efficient, you don't want me to start with you.
All right.
Okay, let's talk about what you have going on there.
Well, I've been having dreams, and they were attacking me a lot last year. And what I've noticed is my daughter, they attack her as well. A lot of the times it's dreams with snakes. But what I'm finding out in those dreams, I'm not fearful of those snakes. I confront them, which I thought was the good part about it, and I wasn't fearful of them. But they're constantly coming, and when I start looking these things up, it looks like witchcraft, but I can't pinpoint who's doing it, where it's coming from, or how I actually got connected with it somehow. But it's tormenting my daughter, both me and my daughter. There's dreams of her being abducted, her being taken from me, snakes, black spiders the other night, a caterpillar, and when I caterpillar and spiders mixed together, and when I was trying to hit them in my living room, the caterpillar, the cocoon, actually turned into a butterfly and then died. And then I was chasing after the spiders to kill them. And then the night before that was the snake. And I was in someone's wedding, and I was getting ready to walk, and I went to the dressing room, and the snake stopped. He looked at me, and I looked at him, and I walked past. And when I came back, I said, if you can catch me, I need to be caught. And I turned my back and kept walking. And I woke up. And then my daughter's telling me about dreams that of snakes and different animals attacking her, and it's just weird. It's like they trail each other, like she said, back and forth from me to her. And
now, let me ask you, are you done? Because I don't want to cut you off.
No, I'm done.
Okay. Let me ask you a couple of questions, because I told you I'm going to take a little time. Let me ask you a couple of questions. How old is your daughter?
She's 7.
Okay, so your daughter is 7. How long has this been for her?
For about a year and a half, it's been attacking the both of us. Really, and I've picked up the witchcraft. It is definitely witchcraft, because I've had the dreams of the different animals, dead animals walking, and a lot of times I hear some voices talking to me in the dream, and it's dark. I can't see their voices, but I recognize who the voices are that are talking to me in those dreams. And when I look up the different animals, because I've had all different type of animals, from deers to bears and goats and dogs and black cats, all of it. So from that I've gathered that it's definitely witchcraft. And I've been up on...
Let's talk about it, because I kind of got the picture. So I want to talk about it. What happened in your life a year and a half ago?
Well, I think it was about in 2009 is when all this actually, I think, started, from when I left one church that God showed me. They were like the Church of Thyatira, and from there is where all of this started to evolve, and it just started to magnify. It actually started in 2009, and then just, you know, I recognized like a year and a half, 2 years ago, yeah, that it just started getting bigger and bigger and more.
Okay. So let's shift off explanation. I want to get into answer. So you were in a church, and so you felt like that was that kind of a church.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask, who did you meet a year and a half ago?
It was a minister there. That was there.
2009 is longer than a year and a half, so I want to find out who you met a year and a half ago.
A year and a half ago?
Mm-hmm. Did you move? Did you relocate? When did you leave? I'll even go this. Let's go this far. Did you go and ask the church that you were in? Did you leave that church in 2009?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, but this thing, this engaging your daughter, started a year and a half ago.
Right.
Okay, so I need to know a couple things, and I'm gonna do all of this other stuff, see, because I have people listening. I don't jump to conclusions. I know folks want to say, well, it's witchcraft, and we all happy. That's fine, but you know, the saints do things, and sometimes we don't know what we've done.
Right.
So my question to you then is what is the sound?
Okay. That was my phone. I had to turn it off.
Okay. So then what I want to say to you then, A, who did you meet? Did you relocate? Because I have some answers, but I want you to answer my questions because I need to hear. I want us to start thinking on this. So who did you meet? And that's the first. And then the next thing I want to ask you is, what kind of shows are you and your daughter watching?
You know, I'm very particular about shows. So we don't watch anything with drugs, alcohol, sex, any of those things, because I'm very particular about that. I know that those type of things she cannot watch. I just thought it was something that's, you know, attacking me as well as her and bouncing back and forth. But shows like movies, different type of movies she watched, Disney, I even have some of that stuff blocked because I don't allow her to watch, you know, certain shows with sex, violence, and drugs or any of that in it. But I guess actually this is going back to the dreams has been magnified in the last 2 years, but I've had those dreams since 2009 on and off, but they seem to be intense more. They seem to come more now. And in December, just last December, it started to subside a little, but now they're coming back. So I thought I had defeated this thing because I'm up on that third watch from 12 to 3. Mm-hmm.
Let me do this. I got the point.
Okay.
I promise you I can make this happen, but
okay.
You can't keep me back to the explanation. I'm on a journey with me.
Okay.
See, I'm going to do this. Now, so I got it. I understand that. Now, so let me ask questions I need.
Okay.
And you answer what I ask, because that's what I need you to answer. So now, did these things start when you entered this church that you think is Thyatira, which means you were in a prophetic church?
Yes.
For listeners who don't know. And so you were in a prophetic church, and they were caught up in doing all kinds of occultic things, calling it the prophetic. Is that what you're saying to me?
That is correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know for a fact that they were occultic things?
Yes.
And when did you start attending this church?
2008, and I was only there for 9 months when God moved me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you were there for 9 months. And then he moved you. Now,
mm-hmm.
How did you get there? Who took you to that church?
I did. I used to go to a lot of things that they had, you know, off-site. I wasn't part of the membership at that time. And I'd been going to some of their retreats for many, many years. And then I stopped. And then I joined the church, you know, later. But I'd been going on and off for about 7 to 10 years to some of their retreats.
So you've been eating off this table for 7 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are we getting the point here?
Mm-hmm.
So you're eating off this table. Now, all the while you were going to the retreats, you did not see that there was a problem with this church?
No, I thought they were the cream of the crop.
So, in other words, you're saying that on the retreat they did things different from what they did when you started attending. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because, yes, exactly. I was up close and personal. See, before, I was never a part of that, so I didn't see the making of all of what they did to make those retreats. But then when I joined, I got a chance to see everything up close and personal.
Okay, so now, when you say up close and personal, are you telling me that you were on staff?
No. They tried to put me on staff, but I wouldn't accept it. I was just, I became a member.
Okay, so you became a member after going the 7 to 10 years, going to the retreat, and in all of that time, you never saw any of the things that began to spark you once you became a member?
No, because I didn't know them personally.
No, but I'm going after something. Whether you knew them or not, the doctrine, the teaching, the machinations, the exercises, the activity, the material sources, they all should have indicated this.
Hmm. Yeah.
So
I guess
go ahead, say it.
Yeah, I guess during the retreat times, I didn't pick those things up. I think I wasn't mature enough in my faith to pick those up. But then by the time I had joined, I had grown even more, and my discernment had grown a lot. And God was just showing me things because I was battling back and forth with God about going back there. I said, why do you keep letting me go back and you see what they're doing? And after 9 months of releasing me, told me he's teaching me what not to do in ministry, but he let me see all of what was going on behind the scenes and up close and personal that I wasn't able to see when I was just going once a year. And this was only once a year, on and off for 7 to 10 years, that I would go to some of their retreats.
Okay,
after,
So now you're there every week. And so now the leadership of this church, let me just ask you this, and I don't need to know the church's name.
Right.
I'm never going to be interested in the name. I'm never going to be interested in the location
right.
church per se.
Mm-hmm.
But what is it that happened upon once you became a member that did not show up in those retreats over all of those years?
I guess I didn't get a chance to, when I was going to retreats, I didn't really know the pastor up close and personal, because I wasn't in relationship with her that way. But then after I got into the church, because I had been going all those times, you know, I kind of knew of her and her and some of the other people that were there. And it just was an attack. When I got there, I think 2 months after I joined, attacks were just coming. As a matter of fact, I was very fearful of coming every Sunday, and I would be so upset and crying that I didn't want to go back. And I would try to go to other churches to get away from it, but God kept sending me back. And so I said, okay, then he has a purpose and a plan for me here. It's something he wants me to get. Because I was, after the attack started to come, I was ready to go. But I didn't, because he kept sending me back.
Okay. I want to ask you one last question, and then I'm going to tell you what my observations are. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, what type of family life did you have? Because obviously this thing goes back in your family line.
In terms of
handling spirituality, handling these kind of witchcraft, occultic things, it goes back. There is a connection. There is a magnet. Because, see, these don't just land on everybody. They have to land on someone who's deaf.
Yeah. I grew up in a single-family home. My parents were not married, and my mom, I started going to church maybe when I was about 9, but she didn't go with me. She would send me, and I always had that desire to know God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would go by myself. But I'm going by, you know, after a while, I think maybe when I turned about 14 or 15, I got away from the church. And then when my grandmother passed when I was 30, that's when I got back into church. And so
in 2008 is when your grandmother passed?
No, my grandmother passed 16 years ago. And I started back in church. And I started at a CME church and then moved into non-denominational. Mm-hmm. And I've been non-denominational since.
Well, the reason I'm asking, because I keep picking up his grandmother, okay? And so that's why I'm asking you what kind of life you had. Because, if, you know, a lot of times when the matriarchs and the patriarchs leave and they are in stuff, those spirits are looking for a new home and they're looking for a replacement. Just like God looks for replacement prophets, all of it, the spirit realm operates like that. So then you being led to that church was part of that setup.
Hmm.
So that's why I'm asking about your family life, you know, because, you know, when you're kids, you don't know. All you know is, as a kid, you know, grandma had these little blessed candles and so-and-so had these little, you know, she'd mix this little thing up for so-and-so, or she'd say, yeah, well, you know, I'm going to be praying on that later on and all of it. And you're a kid. You're just hearing those things have no place to land. But I'm telling you that I keep getting it's a grandmother, whether it's your mother's side or your father's side, that's a whole other thing. But that's why I'm asking you what happened in your family, in your life a year and a half ago that put your daughter on the list.
It probably was when I left a church. I was there. When I left the church that had all the occult behavior, I went to another church. And then I left that church just a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of backlash behind me leaving, and the pastor didn't want me to leave, and she was upset about it. And then that's when these dreams started to really come frequently.
Okay, so you don't know which church it is. So let me just tell you where you are. Number one, the setup is in the family tree. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing I need you to know. Because, see, a lot of times, these, you know, you could say, well, she's saved and all of that, but, you know, if the devils were legal, they wouldn't be devils.
Right.
So they don't care about the law of God. They ain't trying to do that. That's the whole, problem was that they start out in creating lawbreakers. So we like to say a whole lot of stuff that this is not so. So that's the first thing. Secondly, your daughter is vulnerable. So this thing, whatever this grandmother is, this is the grandmother. I'm not sure that it wasn't your mother or your father's mother. Not sure either one. But I want you to know this thing began with a grandmother who cut covenant with hell. And cut covenant because she was sick. When she got sick, she cut an arrangement. And so God wants you to know that this thing, you know, the enemy has their own due dates too. You know, she's mm-hmm. seven. Now let me, if I can start taking over this. And I know this to be a fact because I dealt with this a lot in my early years of ministry. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to shut this off, but I'm going to tell you what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about not only your discernment, but there's something about you and God that you don't listen to him. And let me tell you, just because when you're sitting there crying and agonizing because you don't want to go to a church and you're going to tell me God sent you back to hell and you're not doing anything super for him, I got a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
That means that spirit was that thing was masquerading as a false Christ, as a divinatory devil. So you think that because God is not going to send you someplace where you're ill-equipped to handle and your daughter, not the Most High God, not Jesus Christ. But mm-hmm. now a false Christ will. And so I want to know a couple of things. Do you have a spiritual mentor? Because you need a quality mentor. Because this thing is stalking your life, it's blocking your wisdom.
Right. That I can agree and attest to, sure.
Okay. So I'm going to pray for you to get a mentor. That's the first thing. You need one. And the other thing is that you are obviously fascinated with exploits and spiritual things, which comes with having that mark on your life. That comes with it. But it also means that God is going to use you greatly in his kingdom once he can grow you up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm tell you right now, I'm going to pray, but here's what I'm concerned about. And I'm saying this to you by the Holy Ghost. I'm going to pray because I believe the Lord wants you free, but there is something you and God got to come to terms with. There is something off in this whole thing, and it's very off, and I don't want to take up this whole call to dig up into that, but there's something also. I want you to do a couple of things. When I'm done, I want you to go online. I want you to take my assessment because when you do, we're going to hook you up with one of our prophets, and they're going to dig into this. Now, my chief prophet will pretty much tag what this is because she's going to have time to do it. I need you to do that to deliver you because this thing, this promise has been for you and your daughter. So this is a generational spirit. And one thing about people, we like to tell you that we can just rebuke a generational spirit. That's it. No, no, no. It's like alcoholism. Once you do it, you can't play with that any longer.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to get those books out of your house because you got books in your house, you got paraphernalia in your house, you got teachings in your house, you got a whole lot of things in there that's authorizing this nonsense.
Wow. Okay.
So you're going to have to go clean out your house. I mean, clean it out. You know, it's kind of like that Acts 19 thing. I believe it's 19. Well, you got to, or 16, I'm not sure. But you need to clean it out because you got a whole lot of stuff because you are fascinated with spiritual things and you're fascinated with the supernatural, and that is the raw material for a prophet. That is definitely raw material for a prophet. As a matter of fact, I hear the Holy Ghost saying to me, more than a prophet, God wants to make you a dunamite, a miracle worker person. But you've got 18 years before you're going to be ready to do that because God's got a lot of stuff that's got to come out of your soul.
Wow.
That is why your life has been so challenging. You've had upsets. To hear today, this is working, that's not working. God makes you get everything by faith. He makes you do everything the hard way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, because that's your call. He
yes.
makes you that way. And so part of that has to do with God getting you aware of this world. But I'm going to pray for you to get a prophet. Where are you in Illinois?
I'm in Chicago.
Chicago.
A suburb outside of Chicago. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You probably need to talk to my daughter over there in Joliet to get in the church that's not going to send you to the pit of hell. But you can go. When you go online, you're going to get an opportunity to take this assessment. You need to take it. But I'm telling you, my love, this thing that makes you, that leads you, there is an anchor in your soul for this thing. You got a taproot, not an anchor, a taproot in your soul that draws you to this stuff. And part of it is God is allowing it because he wants you're going to go back and be a part of that healing, but you got a lot of training and a lot of healing and a lot of deliverance to do. I'm talking about things that happened to you as a child that we don't have time to get into because we do know. And all of that stuff set you up for this. Now, I against it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I rise up in my seat of authority, and I establish my rank over this mess in your life, and I break this hold and break this. I reverse this sin in Jesus' name. Now, God, I'm asking that you would cloak her on the right and on the left with the blood of the Lamb, and Lord, with angels of protection to deliver her and her daughter. I visit your house right now by the Spirit of the living God, and I evacuate every unclean thing in your house by the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm saying to you, you're going to turn off your television. You're going to watch, listen to your Bible. You're not going to listen to all those CDs and stuff from the other churches because that's not helping. And you're going to have to toss that all out. Toss it all away. Just toss it. And let me tell you, there's one piece. Somebody gave you a gift and you like it. I want to say it's a ring, but it's like a ring. I see you looking at it. Toss it.
Mm-hmm.
Toss it. I don't care what it's worth. Toss it.
Okay.
Because God said, this is a test for you. He said, I'll deliver your house if you're going to be play straight with me. And if you're not going to play straight with me, I'm not going to do it. My prayers work. My word works. But whether or not you maintain, it's kind of like going to the ER. You go to the ER, they give you a shot for the pneumonia, they give you pills, they give you all that kind of stuff. Then you do the little breathing thing, everything. You go home and you go back to life as usual. Go back to smoking 2.5, 3 packs of cigarettes a day. See, that's not going to help.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a lot to go on because you and God got something, there's something afoot in this whole thing. But I'm not, right now, I want you to know God has a call on your life. You've got to decide. And you can't be calling them crazy lines trying to get information either. Thank God. He wants you to do this. He wants you to walk this walk. But trust me, before this weekend, before you get to Saturday, you need to get that mess out your house.
Okay.
And then after that, you're going to start again with going back to the word, because I mean, when I was in this, God delivered me from all of this, so I'm very clear on this. I'm not speaking what I don't know. And so I'm telling you that it took a long time for all of that to leave my life. And I was in the word every day. I never put my Bible down. I had spaghetti on it, gravy. I had cookies, cake. I had my Bible and everything. Wherever I went, I was reading it, because when I got delivered, it was a violent deliverance. So I'm telling you that this is not going to go overnight. God is going to make you fight for this. So let's see how real it is. And so, God, I'm asking that you cause her for a season. Lord, I'm asking you to give her a 6-week season where she hears nothing but your voice, where there's nothing but your voice in her ear for 6 solid weeks. And, Lord, as you do, that you deliver her house and Lord, protect her daughter so that this thing that you want to move out of their line will have ample time to move because she wills it to be. And I echo the re akundele sotumbo merakote roa gereba tuninisa remotusa bandole ekusanda de akianso. I say Luther and let her go. Now you have got to be diligent in this, my beloved, because this is more than you. This is you and your daughter.
Yes. Oh wow! Thank you, Dr. Price.
All right, now listen, Garnetta, do paper, because I'm feeling your heart. I live what you're living. I'm feeling your heart. Do me a favor. Take yourself so we can talk to you. If you want to call again, you call this office, you call Prophet Ashley, and you say, I want another meeting because I got issues. I don't care if you like what I said, don't like what I said, call and fight for it.
Okay.
Fair enough?
Fair enough.
God bless.
God bless you.
Prophet.
Yes. Wow.
Whew. You know, it's difficult when you go to a church and you think you're going for the Lord Jesus Christ and you kind of find out that people have cut covenant with something else. That is very hard thing. And it's hard because it doesn't let your life go. Because, like, again, we act like there's this some sort of legitimacy God has that's never been breached, and that's not so. So it's very hard to go through that. And it's hard on a call like this to dig into something like that and get all the information I need or even to say what I want to say. Because the Paula Price Show is not to upset folks, it's not to embarrass or discredit. It really is to help, but there are some things that cannot be helped in a single call.
Yeah.
And say to, you know, we both know that. You know, I can hang up and we'll hang up and we'll debrief, and when we do, it's like, yeah, but da-da-da-da-da. But yet this venue is not going to lend itself well to that.
Sure. Well, sometimes one trip to the doctor is enough, and sometimes you need to come back two or three more times.
Yeah. So we do cover her, and actually we will put her on the list, put her and her daughter on our intercessors list so that she can get comfort with prayer from our friends of this day. Now, I have a few minutes. Should I be listening to my testimonial, or do we have time for another call? Where are we in this open?
Wow, the pressure. Well, let's do the testimonial. It's very short, and then we'll go to another caller.
Well, okay, but I need a break now anyhow. What you think? So can you give me one ball?
I think you do need a break. So we're going to give you a break, and we'll be right back.
All righty.
Hi, Dr. Price. This is Apostle Key. I would first like to say thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to your listening audience concerning the Apostleship Retreat. I initially attended the Apostleship Retreat in September of last year. And let me say the accommodations were exceptional. Every session was rich, challenging, thought-provoking, and enlightening. If anyone knows Dr. Price, she is a very thorough trainer and she doesn't leave any stone unturned, including the one in your soul. On that note, let me admonish the heart of the listeners concerning our soul. This training allows Christ to grip your soul and unseat what does not belong to his apostleship. Not only must Christ unseat those areas in our soul that do not belong to his apostleship, he must give us the reason why he even called apostles in the first place. Dr. Price conveys through God's wisdom the why of apostleship. In addition, as apostles, she challenged us to define our commission, because our commission as apostles is why we even exist. I walked away with profound wisdom concerning my piece of Christ's apostleship, the understanding of wins and losses, and a renewed mind on what it's going to take to be a successful apostle. If you are contemplating on whether to attend, I say, look no further. If cost is a concern, tell your commission team. In fact, the moment that I mentioned the idea to my team, they went to work acquiring the funds for me to attend. If you want to know if you're really called as an apostle, put a demand on your commission team. It is a sure way to find out if the human resources you need are already assigned to you. In either case, don't miss the opportunity to collaborate with and be exposed to some of the most brilliant minds and unique training opportunity available. Make the investment in yourself today.
The Executive Apostleship Training Retreat combines high-level mentorship training and hands-on development for emerging and seasoned apostles, apostolic prophets, apostolic pastors, Kingdom entrepreneurs and leaders exclusively. Attendance is selective and limited to ensure the right individuals receive the right level of education and impartation. This retreat allows guests to learn among like-minded peers and colleagues away from those they must lead. Dr. Price offers a retreat environment that fosters one-on-one and small group coaching, strength training, and mentorship for high-level leaders. This gives leaders an opportunity to receive direct impartation, ask questions, and discuss issues unique to their sphere of ministry service. Dr. Price's years of experience and expertise as an apostolic leader and pioneer of contemporary apostleship can provide leaders with the wisdom and biblical foundation needed to proficiently execute their ministry. This training weekend offers a small, intimate, and private learning environment to allow high-level leaders to receive extensive training out of the public eye. Unlike a conference, these times are strictly closed sessions designed to touch the heart of each leader's personal needs. These retreats are not designed for thousands or even hundreds, but a select few who are looking for the right time and right place to step into the next dimension of what God has for them as frontline ministers and leaders in His kingdom. No pomp, no circumstance, just you, God, and destiny. The Executive Apostleship Training Retreat is exclusive high-level apostleship training for top leaders and ministry leaders. Therefore, this event is by invitation only. Go to www.drpaulaprice.com and request an invitation to see if you qualify for this year's Executive Apostleship Training Retreat, April 30th through May 3rd, 2014, here in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
And we are back for our final moments with Dr. Price and the Paula Price Show. Did you catch your breath, Dr. Price?
Barely. And I do want to say to all of my listeners, first of all, I think that, you know, her testimony was very, very powerful. But I want to say, too, that when we say qualify, we're saying we want seasoned leaders. We want seasoned ministers who have significant responsibilities and significant weights to carry, burdens to bear, and significant duties and demands on you, so that you'll know that this is not about, you know, some sort of elitist thing. We want this to be beneficial, and we need people who are attending our retreat, Ashley, who have some place for this wisdom to land and then have enough core wisdom to know what to do with it so that it can mix and produce what God wants. So I just wanted to clarify that because I think it's important. So, well, where do we go from here? Do I have time enough to take another call? If it's not lengthy, I think I can.
Well, I think Robin will be strategic so she can get that word from God. Robin from North Carolina, she needs clarity and direction. She says she's been stagnant for the past 4 years. Robin, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hello, Dr. Price.
Hi, Robin. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. This is my first call to you, and I got through on the first time.
This is just your day. You know what that means? That means the Lord wants to talk to you.
Okay. I'm ready.
So how can I help you? What's up?
I had a job that I loved and I had to leave back in 2010, and I used to work with domestic violence victims and their children, and finding homes for them, places to work and everything. And I had to leave that job and because of financial reasons. And it's like once I left that job, other things started falling apart in my life. I had problems in my marriage and a lot of health issues, sickness. Then my mom got sick and she passed away. So it's just like one thing, you know, happened to me after another, and it's just like I just kind of been detached. And I just don't know what to do or what direction I need to go in. And employment, I definitely need employment. And I just haven't had any answers.
Well, have you pursued employment? I mean, have you gone after jobs?
I have, and for the past 6 months, I have not.
Okay. So what is it that you want to do? You said you had a job that you liked. Apparently you liked business, and then you left it because you ran into difficulty yourself. How did you connect the difficulties that you were going in, that you ran into with the job you were doing? How did that connection happen?
It was financing for them. It was a nonprofit. So financing was because of a lot of things that were happening at the executive level. They weren't only up and up. So money dried up. So I was forced to leave.
Okay, so you had to get laid off, so to speak. Well,
yeah.
Here's the thing. And so what is it that you want to do? Like you said, you haven't looked in 6 months. What is it that you want to do?
I want to have my own business. I've actually been going to school since 2010 for business administration. I have two classes left that I need to finish before I get my associate's degree. But I really would like to go back into that area. I love to help people. And when I'm helping others, I feel really good about myself. But I haven't been in a position other than advice to be able to, I haven't been in a financial position to be able to help. And
Well, I don't know. Let's look at it a little differently. You're in school and you don't have a job, so you have the time to help people right now.
Yes. I'm actually on the evangelistic team at my church, and we actually have started trying to implement some programs whereby we will be able to go out and help others in the community that need help.
Okay, but you need a job. Is that right? Is this job that you're doing with your church, is that going to turn into a job?
At the moment, no.
Okay, so what we need you to do is, if you're already volunteering, then go and volunteer at the same field that you like.
Okay.
Because you already like it. That way, if there's a job, an opportunity for you to do something, you can do something. But if not, you can put it on your resume.
Right, and that job that I had, I started out as a volunteer.
And so do it again. Obviously, you know, let's see if lightning strikes twice.
Okay.
You know, it's been known to, you know, certainly in my life. I mean, I've had God do these once-in-a-lifetime things for me twice in a lifetime. I even challenged a couple of years ago, and I said, well, God, if lightning could strike twice in the same place, I want you to do it. And you know, he stunned me because he did it. And so I would think that if this is what you want to do, because here's what I want to say to you. It's very difficult to have a passion and a calling and the wherewithal to withstand the obstacles that stand in the way. And you have to have a special agreement to that call. In other words, something inside you has to say, this is what I'm going to do no matter what. And you're going to have to put faith in the calling financing your life. And that's not something everybody can do. I do believe that if it hasn't worked out for you anyhow, then you might as well do what you like to do and let God work with that.
Okay.
That would be my wisdom to you, because I hear you saying, I want to do this, and I think you are called to be honest with you, and I think that there is an agency that God's going to lead you to that's going to get you in the door, and you're going to get in the door like you did before, and this one is going to be better off, it's going to be better financed, but it's also going to have better management, you'll even have better hours.
Okay.
Okay?
So, yes.
Yeah. Oh, God's going to do this, but still, life happens. You can, you know, one of the things that we have to learn to do, and I'm going to say this quickly and pray and get out of here, but one of the things, Robin, we have got to stop doing as Christians is equating difficult times to abandoning our calls and destiny.
Yes.
See, and somehow or another, we communicate that message to you all as the sheep of God that if it's difficult, then it's time to jump shift. That's not the way life is. Life happens whether you're working or not, whether you're sick, well, life happens. So then that means that we got to put a fortitude in the people of God so that they can stand, having done all to stand, and then withstand. Because that's where you got stuck. Because, I mean, your mother, you're not working, then stop your mother from whatever. You know what I mean? Life happens.
Right.
So I will say to you that if you're going to pursue what you believe to be a calling, then you need to resolve that the calling is what you're pursuing in the wake of and in the course of life doing what life does.
Okay.
So that you don't go and say, I'm doing this really good thing, God, and why are bad things happening to me because I'm doing a really good thing. Uh-uh. That doesn't work in this kingdom.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to pray you out, and we're going to talk again soon. You're going to let me know when you get your next job, and it's not going to be far off. We're going to talk again. Father, thank you for Robin. We love you, God. We love her. We're asking that you would bless her, order her steps, God. Excuse me, guide her footsteps. Take her to the place you want her to go. Lead her there and give her favor, God, and then use her in the way that you see fit. I thank you that her schooling goes smoothly, she graduates on time, and that she doesn't stop at an associate's. Lord, take her all the way to the master's level. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you, Dr. Price.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right. She's like, I made it under the wire, and that's all that matters.
And I did it. And you know what? I would like to leave everybody with this thought. drop that erroneous theology that said if it's good, it's God, and if it's bad, it's the devil. That is a lie from the pit of hell that did not come from the throne of grace. God sometimes needs us to buck up and grow up and be strong and fight for him. Because sometimes God just wants to know if you're going to fight to keep what you're asking him to release. So God wants you to drop that. From this day forward, we aren't doing that any longer. However, in Jesus' name, is that all right, Ashley? Don't you think that's good news?
That's good news. That's great news.
All right. I'm out of here till next week. God bless you. Love you all. Wish you the best. Like me on Facebook because I certainly like you every day. God bless.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time fee or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.
Hi. This is Dr. Paula Price thanking you for joining me on this week's show. I want to remind you that the counsel and wisdom, the prayer and prophecy that you enjoy today does not have to end with today's program. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show and join tens of thousands of people who re-listen to my program every week. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, and you can relive the experience every single day. God bless you.